thinking about niche networks and how I listen to the people I care about online, how I catch up with those that I've connected with initially, I guess, over the years, the relationships that I nurture because I talk to these people a lot, or I work with these people, or I've been on adventures with these people. And the more platforms arise, the more the networks in some way get fragmented, and we lump all of our connections and relationships into the big three, perhaps, whether it be Facebook, that I don't really partake in, Twitter, which I'm heavily involved in and is a backbone, a spine to all my multimedia and content in a way, or Google+. There's some people who are avid, ardent supporters of Google+, and I dip in there occasionally. So what happens when, in many ways, something, the inevitable occurs, and Twitter collapses under its own incompetence to successfully monetize in a tasteful and user-friendly way the platform, or people kind of wake up to the behemoth that is Facebook and its potential alleged disregard for people's personal data, because the business model it's built on requires more and more and more of your personal information. I've been dipping into smaller, more intimate networks, whether it be applications like MoBods, which are being beta tested at the moment, but the ability to throw multimedia into a timeline enables you to, I guess, create a niche network of content creators, because it appeals to content creators. You can't really just throw text there. It doesn't make it massively easy. It makes it massively personal in a way. I catch up with a lot of my friends via the Audioboo platform, the platform I'm recording on right now. It's immense ease of use. The fact that people subscribe to one another, and I subscribe to people in iTunes, so I get the Audioboos delivered to my mobile device and I can carry people around offline. And when you're catching up with people in audio, you are catching up with people's thoughts, people's emotions, people's stories as they tell them, tied in with the geographic data and photo. This is an incredibly powerful tool for me. And I do quietly, secretly dread what could happen to a platform like this. This is why the conversation is cropping up more and more around legacy, around the responsibility these platforms have to keep these connections alive, to keep this content hosted. But at the end of the day, they're businesses, aren't they? Businesses who need to make money to survive. And no matter how heartfelt and humble, sorry, I've got a desperately bad back and it's killing me at the moment. No matter how heartfelt and humble some of the origins are from these places, if they run out of money, the plug gets pulled. I was looking at FriendFeed again today, and it's quite amazing really how prophetic in the way that it worked. You know, I wish more of my friends actually plugged their multiple platforms into FriendFeed so I could kind of keep up in one place with what so many people are doing across multiple platforms. This makes a fantastic listening tool. And I know some people got a little bit bothered when FriendFeed cropped up initially, because if people were commenting on your blog posts within FriendFeed, they weren't necessarily commenting on your blog post and you didn't get that traffic that you so love to have on your blog. Well, the same happens through Twitter now, doesn't it? The fact that you can plug so many different RSS feeds into FriendFeed, and I can go to one place and see what friends are doing across multiple platforms, and as they join and leave platforms, the feed still continues within the friend feed, is really quite valuable. The fact that you can and could always create lists, which is no different in some ways to circles of particular interest, whether it be professional, personal, the favourite people that you follow. And of course, you can comment within there itself. The biggest downside to friend feed is in, was it 2009? I'm not sure. Facebook bought it. I'm amazed that it's kind of still ticking along and it hasn't in some way either been incorporated into Facebook, or, you know, maybe they're just using it to trawl the data from there. I find it a very valuable tool that I think needs to be ripped off, needs to be emulated and copied in a way that can then be released to the masses, so that we can listen and find the connections that mean something to us across platforms, no matter what they are, when they come and go. And if that friend feed clone could enable you to also archive your content from multiple spaces within your own account, potentially on your own server, we've got a solution to the problem of not only digital legacy, because I'd love to see maybe a WordPress type plugin that appears on the outside saying that this feed will expire in 5 years and 32 days, and the community or the people that care about this connection can chip in pennies, cents, pounds, dollars, and keep that history, keep those stories, keep that culturally relevant timeline going for however long. I've got a few friends that have passed away. Craig Manganello is one of them, who was an avid Seismic user, and to see his Twitter feed hijacked recently by a spam bot and him almost, you know, kind of resurrected in with these fake tweets, you know, made a lot of thoughts about this resurface and how wouldn't it be great if the community could keep these online spaces going, so that his legacy, his digital legacy as such, is maintained. Surely it would be easy to set this up if your site could become legacy enabled, if your web host service, I use Namecheap for example, enabled payments through its legacy enabled infrastructure, so that these plugins could tap in and just add credit to your account. Loads of possibilities. We're thinking more and more that all of this is disposable, mainly because we think that we can't necessarily digest these masses and masses of just a huge amount of information as we are posting videos and photographs and text. And we're thinking, oh, who's going to be interested in it? There's going to be such incredible ways for us to filter and make sense of all of this. If you look at how we're attempting to measure emotion and sentiment within the feeds now, think about how much smarter that is going to be when artificial intelligence is kind of conquered within our devices, platforms and computers. I seriously think that we're underestimating how fast all of this is going to move and how much relevance we're going to find in all of this. In the future, all of our content, I think, is very valuable cultural, whether it be a tweet, a photo, a video clip, or a piece of audio like this. It's documenting society in real time right now, but for future generations. So if you are creating an application or a platform or a system that enables us to stay in touch across the networks and migrate our networks as platforms come and go, then please think about legacy. Please think about making this open source or open enough for people to freely use, connect and utilize these tools for many, many years to come. Just some thoughts I'm throwing out there right now, and who knows how long these thoughts will be available.